I'm actually ending this series. It's still based on God's foundation in the believer. Turn to Genesis. God made man in his image like us. So there was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit who said, let's make man in our image and likeness. Amen? The Creator created and formed man. And then God gave language to you and I that we could not only speak with God, we could speak with each other. And so God is very specific that not only made us in his image and likeness, that he gave us the ability to commune with him. And if you were to look in Genesis, you could see that God communed with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. God made man and created him and formed him in his image and likeness, but he gave us a language to use. So we need to use our language in a way that will edify the Lord. Amen? Because we can use our language to edify the world. But this morning I want us to understand that when God gave us the ability to speak not only to him and to each other, God gave man dominion to rule on this earth. But he said, have dominion and rule over. And this morning I have to ask this question. Do you see yourself having dominion, and are you ruling over? Are you ruling over the kingdom of darkness? Are you ruling over the very things that are contrary to the word of God? Are you a man and woman of God that sees things of the kingdom of darkness that we need to speak against because you are the nature of the kingdom of light? But I want us to see some things here in the sense of the beginning of time, not only when God created man and gave him a language, but something happened. Because of man's wickedness, God destroys the earth by a flood, killing every living creature except Noah and his family and the animals in the ark. He killed it all. It says, I am sad that I've made man. But yet Noah found favor in the sight of God. Amen? And so I want us to get this picture that God not only destroys the earth with a flood, but Noah sees all this happening because there was a promise from the Lord, and he told Noah to build the ark and that his descendants would live because he was a man that was just. And he told him to go get the animals and bring those animals into the ark, and that he would save those, the ones that he said to save, those are the ones that he brought in. All right? And so we know, based on what the scripture said, we know that God destroyed the earth with a flood, and we know that then after a certain many, many days, that the flood waters went down and the ark landed, right? And he released the animals. And again, at this point, there is regeneration, and regeneration begins. Because when Noah and his family is on his ark, we basically need to understand that because of everything being destroyed, because of the wickedness of man, I want us to think that when God says the world is wicked, it is wicked. And he's going to do something about it. Okay? So when we understand that regeneration begins, that something starts to happen after that regeneration. And I want us to look at Genesis 11, verse 1. Adam and Eve are in the garden, right? They commune with God. So they not only see Adam and Eve not only made in his image and likeness, but they also could commune with each other and especially with God. And so then they get in the ark and they're on the ark, still speaking to each other, still knowing that God's the creator of the heavens and the earth, because he still destroyed all living thing. And I would think the fear of the Lord in reverence was incredible. If you're going to build an ark for 100 years, you better know God is speaking to you. right? And you have to recognize when the enemy says, you're an idiot. You believe God told you to build the ark? Well, when the door shut, he wasn't an idiot. Right? All right. So when we look at Genesis 11, 1 through 9, I want us to, again, see that this is the beginning of the regeneration of humanity. The regeneration of the creatures that God created. It says, now the whole earth had one language. Say that with me. The whole earth had one language and one speech. Let's say it again. The whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east and they found a plain in the land of Shinar that they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let's make a name for ourselves. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. Say that with me. They all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they supposed to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over all the face of the earth. So understand this, that Noah's descendants, remember the sons of Noah, and they had wives and they started procreating. We want to remember that God created man, and God has always wanted man to trust in him. Amen. And that they were united with him in love with him. God loves his creation. All right? But what had happened is that Noah's descendants reverted quickly to pagan ways. They were reverting back to pagan ways, and that was built with pride, and it was about self-rule. Remember, let's build this for ourselves. Let's exalt ourselves. So here's the timing of this, of here God creates man, gives him a language. I want you to have dominion and rule. I want you to multiply. Amen. And punish the earth. But then what happens is that God says, the wickedness of man I'm going to destroy. But there's one that is a just man that feared the Lord, and his name was Noah. The earth is flooded. Everything, every creature on it is flooded. There was an end here. There was an end to this part because he destroyed every living thing. But there was something that he was trying to do at this point because of the flood. He was wanting to regenerate the fear or reverence towards God in Noah and the descendants. But what actually happened, they reverted back to pagan ways. Back to that of not following the rules of God in a sense. But it was actually to where they were self-sufficient and self-centered. And so over here, they had one religion, they had one speech, right? Then they all died off. Then it comes back to Noah, to where it's just Noah and the descendants. So again, let us remember, God loves his creation. Let's say that together. God loves his creation. Say this with me. I am God's creation. From God destroying man, here's Noah. He's wanting to regenerate man to that of reverence and to be God-fearing in a way of trust, amen, unity, and love. Because you know what? If it's wickedness and if it's evil, love and unity don't abide. Love and unity don't abide. Okay? All right. Now let's look at Zephaniah 3:9. And I want us to understand the power of God and the love of God, that he wants love, first of all, love, and then unity. So in Zephaniah 3:9, it says this, "For then," meaning when nations might fear him in reverence, it says, "I will restore." Say, "I will restore." "I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." So we saw that the Lord God had created man. He gave him one language, one speech, destroyed him. And now it's back to this, to where with the prophecy of Zephaniah says, you know what? What God wanted was one language, one speech, a language that was pure, and that was to honor him, not to honor pagan ways, not to honor pagan idols. So when we see this, "I will restore to the peoples a pure language." And you go, pure language? Like one pure language? And I want us to see the power of the Holy Spirit, that the promise of salvation was both to the Jews and Gentiles through Christ Jesus. That this promise was even evident in the time when Peter went to Cornelius' house. Because the plan of God, salvation of God, was never just for the Jews. It was also for the Gentiles. Remember, when Jesus came, it was to save the world, not just the remnant of Israel. So the whole idea is that through Jesus Christ, those serving Christ would serve in one accord, in humility, in righteousness, not lying, not deceit, no fear, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here we have a dispensation of time, and I want us to see that when God was calling on his people, remember the people, we want a man to follow after. We want a person of God, and we know that there was Moses, we know there was Joshua. Well, then it was back to, okay, we want judges, we want kings, we want prophets. And one of the all the things that I just spoke about tie in between this point and this point, to the point of when Jesus Christ comes to this earth. When we think of where is God, when are we going to hear from God? And yet God was using different people by the Spirit, and we know that there was Elijah, there was Elisha. We know the prophet Joel. All these things that were in here from the time of when the earth was flooded to the time of when Noah landed on earth, in the sense of from the waters descending, till the time of Jesus Christ. I want us to understand, it's like, God, when are we going to hear from you? But yet God was speaking through the judges. God was speaking through the kings. God was speaking through the prophets. But yet there was still a rebellious spirit. The power of God and seeing the big picture, that God has all of us in mind from the very creation when he formed man. When he formed man over here, even though he destroyed the earth and flooded the earth, even at the time that he formed man, to the end, his love has been for the love of his creation when it's done. Amen? Amen? Okay. All right. Let's look at Matthew 1. When God flooded the earth, it was a mile marker. You know what? We're descendants. All of us are descendants from Noah. All of us. And so here's the other mile marker in Matthew 1, verse 20. And this is about Joseph and Mary. Joseph saying, "How can you do this to me? I thought we were going to get married." Let's watch. Okay, so Matthew 1, 20 through 23. "But while he," Joseph, "thought about these things," what was that? To put her away. so people wouldn't know she been sleeping around. Come on. It says an angel, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. Son of David. Root. Lineage. Son of David. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What? What's a Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? So for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which says, or is translated, God with us. So at this point, when the prophet said, the angel told God, you're going to call him his name Jesus, God with us. God with us. Say that with me together. God with us. Okay, I want you to say this. God with me. Are you sure? Let's say it again. God with me. Right? Okay, so prophecy fulfilled, and you're going to call his name Jesus, God with us. At this point, right here, at this point, as we look at the dispensation of the church, as we see the dispensation of the time of when Jesus came to this earth, I want us to see that Jesus grew up and is anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's actually baptized by John, which was a forerunner to Jesus to that point. So we know that Jesus was born. We know that he didn't go right out of ministry from the womb. He grew up to the age of 30, and then he served at that point. But it's when he grew up and the timing came of the Heavenly Father, of the time of ministry, and even John fulfilled prophecy when he water baptized Jesus. And when Jesus came out of the water, the Lord God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Beginning of ministry. Beginning of ministry. His ministry has not stopped from that point by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? Okay. So then came the promise of the Father of the Holy Spirit after Jesus' death. You mean the Holy Spirit not only is for Jesus, but it's for us too? That is correct. All right, let's look at John 14. Very important that we understand. Very important, the power of the Holy Spirit. Very important with our relationship with Jesus. And to understand that when you and I live on this earth, we need to think of current. Current, what is God speaking over you? What is God speaking over your life? Jesus said in John 14, 15 through 17, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for just a week. No. It says forever. It says that he'll abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive. You know, people in the world, what's this Holy Spirit stuff? They have a hard time just trying to understand salvation. But when you talk Holy Spirit stuff, they think you're a whack job. They think you're quirky, corny, ridiculous. You're one of those. I would love to have them speak over me. I'm one of those. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's about the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in your life. When you got born again, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. So the spirit of the truth whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Amen. This is critical. I'm getting somewhere with this. All right. Now let's look at Acts 1. So we see the power of the Holy Spirit, not only Jesus' life performing miracles, signs, and wonders. Then Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to send a helper for you now. A promise from the Father to help you. Those that believe in me, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you. The Spirit of truth. All right. So when we look at Acts 1, 4 through 8, it says, being assembled together with them, as he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I can imagine the thoughts going through their mind. What? I saw people getting water baptized by John, and I saw where I see the power of God in Jesus' life doing all these miracle signs and wonders. Now he's saying something to them, to their spirit. And I want us to catch something here, that he's speaking to their spirit. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they came together, now listen how they're asking in the natural, not in the spirit. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? I want us to see that. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, Jesus was talking spirit. They were thinking in the natural. Okay? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. All right, let's look at Acts 2, 1 through 6. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, not halfway, it fully came. All right, it fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, one sitting upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devoted men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitudes came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Amazing. All right, let's look at Acts 4, 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Let's say that together. They spoke the word of God with boldness. See, the foundation wasn't in themselves. The boldness was in the Word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things they possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. So when you get born again, you enter the SWAT team. Servant with a testimony. Servant with a testimony. When you get born again, you're a servant with a testimony. When you get born again, you say, you know what? My life was dead, but now it's alive in Christ. Amen. You're on the SWAT team. Amen. Servants with a testimony. And you know what? It's the testimony and the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in us. Remember, you'll receive power to be a witness unto me. It's not about you. It's about him. Why is that? Because we want the glory to go to God. Without the Lord Jesus in our lives, we are nothing. All right, let's look at Romans. Now we're going to tie this together. Let's reflect. Over here, God created man in his image and likeness with one language and one speech, right? God floods the earth. God floods the earth. Noah, a just man that loves God, is with one language and one speech in one place, right? But the pagan ways perverted the things of God. So they were self-aligned with themselves, and they created a Tower of Babel in one place, one accord, to where the Lord God said, I've got to scatter them. Because they become the purposes within their heart they're able to accomplish. So he says, you know what? I'm going to scatter them. Scatter the one language, the one speech. Amen? All right? So what did we talk about in Acts? Love, unity, Jesus Christ. You got Jesus Christ, there's love. The Holy Spirit, you're sealed. What happens? Language changes. The language changes, people. The language changes because the love of Jesus changes our heart to where we speak differently and we act differently because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know when people come together with one language and one speech based on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you know what? There is power. The Spirit that brings a pure language. Not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile. And that's what happened when Peter went to Cornelius' house. That he could receive the Holy Spirit. I thought just the Jews could have the Holy Spirit. But yet, because of Cornelius being filled with the Holy Spirit, they were able to be engrafted in. Isn't that amazing, the power of God? To think of he creating man in his image and likeness, and then to destroy him. Because they had one language. You see, where Noah was that of a righteous man, a just man that loved God and had a reverence to God, still again, one language, one speech, but because of perversion. Nothing will ever pervert Jesus. Nothing will ever pervert the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? All right, so let's go to Romans 8. So what did Jesus do? I want you to go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father, right? So the Holy Spirit came upon those that were in the upper room. But you know what? When that occurred in the upper room, it has not stopped. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for every believer that wants the opportunity to be in line with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Romans 8, 12 through 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not of the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we die. But if we live by the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Amen. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit of himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. It only becomes that way through our relationship with Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? We are joint heirs in Christ. Ephesians 1, 22. So remember I talked about the plans of God not only made us in image and likeness. We know that Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. But I want us to see the plans of God is from the Alpha Omega to the beginning to the end. Amen. We just live in the church dispensation right now. All right? Very important. All right. Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. It says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who's the church? You're the church. And that part where it says in verse 22, and he put all things under his feet, if you're to reference to Genesis 3, 15, Christ crushed the head of Satan, and Satan is under his foot. If you're to look up Genesis 3, 15, promise fulfilled then, promise fulfilled now. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Colossians 1, 18. I'm just about wrapping this up, okay? This is good. Amen. Say it's good. Yeah. All right, Colossians 1:18. It says, he is the head of the body, the church. He's over you and I. All right? It says, who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. He had the preeminence then. He had the preeminence with Noah, and he had the preeminence when he was born. He had the preeminence when he was on the cross. He had the preeminence even with the Holy Spirit, and he's of the preeminence when he will be worshipped as the King of kings and Lord of lords. He will always have preeminence. Amen? Very important. All right. And so 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 13 says, for as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, as of all have been made to drink from one Spirit. When God created man, when God created Adam and Eve, he spent time with them to commune with them in the cool of day, commune with each other. And the thing is this, as we look at what God has done, and as we see the power of the Holy Spirit, we see that God wants us to all drink from the one Spirit. One pure language, one pure speech by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. There's none other. There is no second Holy Spirit. There is no second Word of God. There's only one Word of God. There's only one Holy Spirit, and there's only one Jesus Christ. And he wants us to drink from that one Spirit so that we have that pure language. We have that one voice. We have that one speech. Amen? Amen. Very, very important. So what is that pure language? When we get born again, we become that new creation in Christ. What we say and what we do changes because we're a new creation in Christ. We're not to think like the world thinks. We're to think and to have the mind of Christ because he's head of the body, the church, you and I. You now represent Christ. You are now ambassadors of the kingdom of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. You are to say what the word says. You to be led by the Spirit of God and say what the Spirit tells you to say. In John 16, 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. It's one language and one speech. It is a pure language that is from the heaven above. Amen? And to think to where we are able to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. When it's said in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me," meaning this, a truth in pure language, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know what? That message from the time when Jesus came to this, the language has always been the same. You cannot go to heaven by any other way. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Nothing can skew that. And the Holy Spirit will never skew that, because what he's saying, what I receive, I will give to you, because it's from him who is truth. And I'm the Spirit of truth as well. Amen? So when we think of not only salvation, we think the power of the Holy Spirit, we become servants with a testimony. Amen? Because we want others to be on the same team. We want people to go to heaven. We want people to be not only saved, but to live it. To not only say, but to do and be doers of the word. Amen? Amen? It's huge to understand what our foundation is. But many times people say, "You know, I'm saved. I believe I'm saved." No, God's got a greater plan with that. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. He wants to empower you to be mighty for the kingdom of God. Amen? Think about this. You guys are on the winning team. And you have the Holy Spirit that is living with you and is in you. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? God will use you in different ways to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's also another part to that. The Holy Spirit of another language is speaking in tongues and is not to be afraid of, because it's from heaven above. The world says you're weird. You know what? We live in this world, but we're not of this world. Okay? But in the time that we're here, we're to be a witness for the kingdom of God, that we can take as many people with us as possible. So when I say about what is the foundation, God's word, it is to be a foundation. Because as we have that in our lives, we're able to minister to those that don't have Jesus Christ. We need to pray. We need to read our Bibles. We need it as an anchor within our souls so that we can stand firm when the storms do come. We sang about that today, in the midst of a storm. We're in storms. We are in a storm. But keep your hope in the Lord. Amen? Keep your trust in God.